Dr. Rob Garbutt from the Southern Cross University is with me this morning to discuss the social impact of the movement. Rob, how did you first become interested in Aquarius?
Well, I guess my first interest in Aquarius was at the age of 12 in the backseat of Mum and Dad's Kingswood.
Yeah.
And we went for a day trip out to Nimbin on Sunday afternoon to check it out, to see what was going on. My mum was intensely curious about anything, so I think she got Dad to go out for a drive.
And what was it like? What did you experience?
Look, there's a whole lot that I can't remember, but what I do remember was seeing these toilets where men and women went into the same place, and for a conservative kid growing up in Lismore at the time, it just blew my mind. So that's what sticks with me. But following on from that, I guess for me as a young kid growing up in Lismore, it just changed the town. And so we had new shops come in. Noah's Ark was one that I remember in particular that was just full of secondhand records that were the hippie cast-offs. There were new books about spirituality, about organic farming, home building. It was just like this eye-opening door. It was like Doctor Who's TARDIS, you know. It was just amazing to be growing up at that time, coming from the conservative side of town.
Mm. Well, we've got a couple of clips. So, Rob, tell us a little bit about the clip we're going to play that you found.
These clips come from a film by Brendan Stretch called Softly Bruised Sunshine. I think some of this material may be talking about... There was one big incident at the Aquarius Festival which sort of brought people down, which was a drug bust at one stage. And so I think some of this material comes from that time, and then it'll go into other bits and pieces. It's just a little time capsule.
I am the officer in charge of this unit. And I am going to tell you that the officer's pistol has been stolen.
Or fell out.
And
or
lost. And handcuffs cut,
yes,
on a prisoner which he had.
Yes, that's right.
People are all here to represent Aquarius and enjoy the festival.
So we are.
Yeah, without you.
Shut up. You are the people that's got to live it down. We will be going on forever.
Involved in this action tonight, other than from Lismore.
I know that's true.
That as and from tomorrow, there will be 500 police here.
Peace, brothers, peace. Cool it, man, cool it. No bad vibes. We're here to smoke dope, man, and groove with nature.
Forget about politics. Now, what sort of a government do you want?
An honest government.
An honest government. Right, you want an honest government. An honest government. Get a budget.
And for politics a festival. Is part of that.
You're here for a festival.
Right, and politics is part
of the
festival.
You didn't come here. Like, you come here, you put your hands up and you come from this and come from that.
That's politics.
It's supposed to be an arts festival.
One of those fingers is politics.
Yeah, well, I don't worry about politics. You're here for an arts festival, right? You accepted it as an arts festival.
A culture festival. Part of the culture
arts
is politics.
Arts and a cultural festival. You get a grant from the Arts Council.
Which is a political body.
Well, look, you're right. Forget about politics. You wake up yourself, because the police department, without them, mate, this will be a very sick, bloody world.
Yeah. It is a very, very sick world. We've got the police department.
That was an excerpt, Softly Bruised Sunshine, from a film that Rob Garbutt is telling me about. Dr. Rob Garbutt is from the Southern Cross University. He's running a social history project in some ways up at Nimbin.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the context of this film.
So this is a film that was produced as part of the Sydney Filmmakers Cooperative, who came to the festival. And that clip, I guess there were a whole lot of things going on in there, but I guess one of them is the whole issue of drugs and really, I think it was perhaps one of the few incidents with police that occurred during the festival. So when you think about 4,000, 4,500, 5,000 people getting together for an event, it was a pretty well contained event for 10 days, if that was the main thing that occurred. I guess the other thing that's interesting is just that final section where this was a festival where there was no program and art was, if you like, it was an arts festival where art, life and art were the same thing. It was creating something out of just living together and being together and coming up with new ways of living. So while it was an arts and cultural festival and many saw it as that, it was also intensely political. And so I guess that's the thing, that little tussle that's going on there is the politics of everyday life and everyday culture that's being challenged at the time, and that sort of tension that's coming out there is just, I just think it's a beautiful little encapsulation of that.
Mm-hmm. It was interactive before festivals were interactive, before it interactivity sure became part of the jargon.
Absolutely.
Wasn't it?
I mean, it was
the participants were the artists.
That's
were
right.
The festival.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was this space that was created for 10 days where people would get together, and a lot of people's memories of the festival were not of necessarily of things happening, but of sitting around campfires and talking. And out of what just seemed like perhaps chaos emerged all sorts of things from that interaction, you know, one of which would be the cooperative movements that we have, whether it's food co-ops and markets, or whether it's intentional communities, for example. So all of those things came out of that space that was created to think about how can we change society and how can we make things a bit different to how they've been.
Mm. Yeah. Intentional communities, some people might be more familiar with the term multiple occupancy too, I suppose.
Sure, commune was the...
Living on, yeah.
Is how we straight people would talk about it back then.